Luke chapter 1 verses 34 through 37. This is the word of God. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will bless all of us, that you will grant us an ear to hear your word. Oh Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will hear and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done, what he has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you. We love you, God. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." And Mary asks him in verse 34, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" Mary says, literally, "I do not know man." According to the Bible, to know is to have a relationship with. To know God means to have a relationship with God. She says, "I do not know man." This shows how Mary understood what the angel Gabriel said to her. It is very clear that Mary did not understand what Gabriel said to her to say that she will conceive in her womb and bear a son when she will have physical relationship with Joseph in the future. Mary was, as you know, betrothed to Joseph. But she was not living with Joseph, nor she had any physical relationship with him. Mary was a virgin until Jesus was born. Mary understood what Gabriel had said to her to say that she will conceive in her womb and bear a son while she was a virgin. She will conceive in her womb and bear a son before she is married to Joseph, but while she is betrothed to him. Meaning that this will happen not long after the announcement of the angel Gabriel. Jesus, who is God, is coming to his people, coming to this world, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of Mary. This is what the Bible teaches. And this is what the doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ teaches, perhaps more correctly, the doctrine of the virgin conception. Because the birth of Jesus Christ was very ordinary birth. No miracle was involved. The miracle was the conception. Mary conceived in her womb and bore a son without any sexual relationship with a man. Matthew wrote about this way, Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Matthew chapter 1 verse 20b, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus had a body, just like ours. Meaning that his body came from Mary. He received Mary's genes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in a bodily form. John chapter 19, verse 34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out, showing that he was man. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, and verses 17 and 18. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he was suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. To be our perfect high priest, Jesus had to be made just like his brethren in all things. He became a man. Jesus is 100% man. But at the same time, he's also 100% God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Romans chapter 1, verse 3, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh. But Jesus was not conceived by any man's seed, nor a result of the union between a man's sperm and a woman's egg, but was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But this is not teaching that there was a physical relationship with God, like some mystical religions might teach you. Verse 35 that we read explains it this way. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. We saw a similar thing in Galatians chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit hovers over the surface as He creates the universe. And this were overshadowed. We saw a similar thing when the tabernacle was finished. Exodus chapter 40, verse 35. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory cloud settled on the tabernacle, overshadowing it. The presence of the amazing power and glory of God. Later in Luke, at the Mount Transfiguration, Luke chapter 9, verse 34, while he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. So you get the picture, overshadowing. The cloud came to them and overshadowed them. It points to the presence of the glorious God. That is the picture. The power of the Holy Spirit overshadows man. Now, Bible stops there. Bible doesn't go into all the medical jargons or anything like that. So we move on. Jesus is born from the body of Mary. Thus he comes to his people as 100% man. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 and 7. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Now, there are many people who misunderstand what those verses actually say. As God becomes a man, he does not lose anything as God. He remains 100% God. But now he is also at the same time 100% man. Some people misunderstand the beginning of this verse 7, he emptied himself, as saying that when he becomes a man, he becomes less God. He loses some godness. That's how they understand that phrase, that he emptied himself. This is a heretical view and we reject it. Now, if you study Greek, and I don't even pretend to be expert in Greek. I just know just really little more than you. But in a Greek sentence, sequentially written things are not an indication of an order of time. See, we have three things in verse 7. First, emptied himself. Second, taking the form of a bondservant. Third, being made in the likeness of men. It is listed as I just read them to you. But it does not mean that the first thing listed happened first, and the second thing listed happened after the first thing listed. Greek grammar just doesn't work like that. One might list first the things that happen last for emphasis. See, these three things, and you want to emphasize one of them, you put it in the beginning of the sentence. It doesn't mean it happened first. It might happen last, but you could put it in the first to emphasize it. According to Greek grammar, even though he emptied himself is listed first, does not mean that it happened first. His emptying himself does not necessarily happen before him taking the form of a bondservant. It might have happened after him being made in the likeness of men. So he becomes a man, then he emptied himself. If you read it like that, then what? If that is true, then the phrase, he emptied himself, might explain the cross, where he literally emptied himself. Jesus Christ is 100% man, but at the same time 100% God. The latter part of the verse 35, going back to our passage for today, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. He is the Son of God. What does that mean? Well, John 5, verse 18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. See, they understood, these Jews understood when Jesus says, Father, God is my Father, or that I am his Son. What is he really saying? That he is also God. That's why they wanted to kill him. To say he is the Son of God is to say he is God. Now, one other thing. To say that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit does not mean that his conception is his beginning. It was his beginning as God and at the same time man. Yes, as a God-man, that was the beginning. But as the eternal God, he has no beginning. He is always God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, we have to say something about John 1:1. And some of you heard this from me before, but we have to say something about it because there's so much misunderstanding out there. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Some translate the last part, the Word was God. They translate it like this. The Word was a small g God. Word was a God. Because, they say, in Greek, the word God does not have a definite article, like the. And they're true. It doesn't have that definite article. That's why they say we have to translate it as a God. Indefinite. Now, these people who do this, they're not Greek experts. So all they will say is that the word God does not have a definite article, and the word that does not have a definite article must be indefinite. Thus, the translation, a God. Well, because they're not Greek experts, you give them dumb solution to dumb argument they're making. In John 1:1, the word, the beginning, that does not have a different article. Yet all translates, every translation you could look, every will say the beginning, not a beginning. Can you imagine if you go start with, in a beginning was the word? No, in the beginning, even though the word beginning does not have definite article. Now that is a dumb answer to dumb people who argues that the word God does not have a different article, thus we must translate it as a God. We have better solution. In Greek, there is what is called Colwell's rule, which states this. Definite predicate nouns which precede the verb usually lack the article. That's just how it is. If it is a predicate noun and it is preceding a verb, then it doesn't have a definite article, even though it is different. That's the rule. It continues, a predicate nominative which precedes the verb cannot be translated as an indefinite. You just cannot do it. which those people are doing it. Now, predicate noun. What is this predicate noun? Predicate noun is a noun that provides more information about the subject of the sentence. It completes a linking verb like to be, like am, or is, or was, or were. In Greek, the last part of John goes like this. I hate to do this to you, but kai, theos, and ha, logos. Meaning, God was, see, it starts with and, then God was the word. Now, the word is the subject. Meaning, God is a predicate noun. But as you could see, that word God was preceding the be verb, was. And when it does that, when predicate noun does that, it is definite, but there is no definite article. That's the rule in Greek. And that's exactly what we have in John 1:1. And yet these people, they know just a little bit of Greek. See, just knowing a little bit like myself, it makes you dangerous. Don't listen to any of this. You cannot translate it like how they do. Now, Colwell's rule says, one more time, definite predicate nouns which precede the verb usually lack the article. So pronoun God is definite even though it does not have an article. Now, yeah, let's move on. I don't want to say too much, for a guy like me, I'm not I don't know grammars that much, But I understand this. I'm more like mathematical person than grammar person, but even I can understand it. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ, or the virgin conception of Jesus Christ. If anyone does not believe in this, then that person is not Christian. Period. If anyone does not believe that Jesus is 100% God and at the same time 100% man, then that person is not saved. Bible just doesn't allow it. If Jesus is not 100% God and at the same time 100% man, then he cannot save anybody. If Jesus is not a man, then he cannot represent man. And Jesus, who represents man, must be 100% man, and he has to be sinless. If Jesus is a sinner, then he must die because of his own sin. Then he cannot die for the other people's sin. This is why a virgin conception is truly important. Through it, Jesus is born without original sin. The Bible teaches that by ordinary generation, all mankind being born of a man and a woman through their physical relationship, starting from Adam and Eve, sinned in Adam and fell with him and in his first transgression. All mankind born that way are born in sin. Psalm 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." But see, Jesus was not born this way. That's the point. He was not conceived by his earthly father and mother. Do you see it? Original sin came down generation after generation, but it has stopped at Jesus Christ. Thus he was born without sin. And he did not sin after his birth either. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So as the Savior, Jesus has to be a man and sinless man and born this way, conceived by the Holy Spirit. If it is not so, then Jesus cannot save us. And as the Savior, Jesus also has to be God. If Jesus is not eternal God, then he could not have endured the eternal judgment of God that we deserve. But that is exactly what he has done. He received the eternal judgment of God in our places. And because he is the eternal God, he was able to receive all the eternal judgment of God that his people deserve in a few hours on the cross. Actually, time does not apply to him. He is the eternal God. If he is just a finite man, then he had to die on the cross forever to pay for our sins. Then we will never know when all the penalty of our sins are completely paid for. We have to wait forever to find out. But if you wait forever, you will never know. And you ask, is it my sin paid in complete? And God said, no, not yet. He's still dying on the cross. How long? Forever. If he's a finite man, if he is not God, that's how long he has to pay for our sins. But he is God. It is because our Lord Jesus is the eternal God, infinite and eternal. He was able to pay for all our sins, not just for one person, but for all of his chosen people, and accomplish the perfect righteousness for all of his chosen people. Because he's the infinite God, he could do this. We cannot compromise in this, that Jesus has to be 100% man, at the same time 100% God. Otherwise, there is no salvation. Luke chapter 1, verse 36, 37, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. The virgin conception, it is an utter nonsense for this sinful world. But just like what verse 37 says, nothing is impossible with God. That's the issue. What kind of God do we believe? God who could do anything? Or there are certain things that God cannot do. My God that I believe, and your God is my God, we believe that he is able to do anything. When we say that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary was conceived in her womb and bore a son, Jesus Christ our Lord, our focus is not on Mary. There are so many wrong teachings concerning Mary. First, Mary is sinless. Born sinless and lived a sinless life. No. Mary was a sinner. Later, we will see that Mary calls God her Savior. Only a sinner needs a Savior. Second, Mary did not die but ascended into heaven alive. Show me from the Bible where it says that. Obviously, Bible doesn't say that. And yet these people actually believe. Now third, Mary is virgin forever. Let me just read to you one passage. Matthew 13, 55, 56. People, they're looking at brothers and sisters of Jesus. They're saying, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So who are these brothers and sisters of Jesus if Mary was forever virgin? How did these people come about? Nonsense. Fourth, Mary is the object of worship. No! Matthew chapter 4 verse 10b, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. We must worship God and God alone. No one else. I do not want to spend much time on Mary. So let's move on. In this virgin conception, we see that God's redemptive works is all by God and by God alone. Even from the very beginning, God becoming a man, from being conceived by the Holy Spirit, everything thereafter are done by God and by God alone. The virgin conception, what did Mary do? What did Joseph do? It was not because Mary wanted to conceive Jesus. No, God chose her. It was all God and His plan. All by our sovereign God and His plan and His purpose. That's how our salvation is accomplished. The virgin conception. Now, listen very carefully. This is important. Because I want to end this sermon here. Yeah, time is good. Because I have to finish by 12 and I was, you know, not confident that I could finish by 12, but man, we got here fast. But listen, the virgin conception. Every time we talk about this, I have to say this. God becoming a man. Now, stop and think. God becoming a man. We heard it so many times that we are not deeply moved by it anymore. We even consider it as just an ordinary event. But stop and think. God becoming a man. How low is God humbling Himself? Can you picture our God, Almighty God, as an embryo in a woman's womb, receiving nutrients from a woman that He has created? Can you even picture that? And yet that is exactly what happened. How low is God humbling Himself? Brothers and sisters, as you see how God humbles Himself, how low will you go for Him? How low are you willing to be humbled for God? Again, stop and think. The eternal God in a moment of time becomes a man, and that it is his joy to remain man forever. Why? But it is his joy to remain as a man forever. God is happy to be a man forever. Thus, he is not ashamed to be called our brethren. God, not ashamed to be called our brethren. Even now in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ is God, but at the same time, man. He is waiting for us as God-man. And we will be able to see him, touch him, hug him when we go to heaven. And it is his joy to remain as a man forever, as our true brother, because he is a man. But why? It's like one of you wanting to be a cockroach and trying to remain as a cockroach forever. Why? It's actually worse than that. Yes, that's why in the Bible, sinners, they compare themselves with worm, like an insect. And yet that was God's joy, to be like us, so that he could truly be our brother forever. God becoming a man is truly amazing. Now, I will end with this. I'm going to get a little bit philosophical, but what is Christianity? It is Jesus Christ. Now, what do you see in Jesus Christ? We see the perfect union of God and man. The perfect meeting of God and man. Perfect reconciliation of God and man. God being with man. That is Jesus Christ. God united with man. That is Jesus Christ. And that is our heavenly reality. Heaven is all about that. God being with men. So when you look at Jesus, you're looking at heaven. Now, that is the reality that is accomplished only by our God. You and I have not contributed anything to accomplish that. God comes to us as a man and accomplished the perfect salvation for all of us. So when I see Jesus Christ, like I told you, God united with man, what is really amazing to me is that I, Young Kim, is also a union between God and man. Just like Christ. Because God lives in me. God lives in me. Do you see? When you look at me, do you see the union of God and man? And that's who I am. That's Christianity. You and I, as we walk, we represent Christianity. God together with man. This is who you are. This is what your life is all about. Yes, the world will not recognize it. They don't even care. But that is what we witness.
that God is with man. Do you see heaven when you look at me? Do you see heaven? Because that's what heaven is all about. You and I, we too, as we are united to Christ, witness the union of God and man, the perfect meeting of God and man. I am also in Christ, God meeting man. Because God lives in me. God lives in you. This is what incarnation is all about. This is what virgin conception is all about. God and man together forever. Thus, all of us, one by one and together, are the reality of God meeting man, the true temple. And that's what temple is all about, God living in his house. That's why we're the temple of God. That is why Jesus is the true temple, because in Jesus, God lives in man. Only in Christ, brothers and sisters, only by Christ, and only through Christ, only because of Christ, and only for Christ. The meaning and the purpose of our eternal reality of heaven is Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, He is truly everything to us. We're not just saying it. It's the reality that His definition to every aspect of our eternal life. Jesus Christ. Oh, don't take it lightly. Man, we're just scratching the surface. Our religion, the true religion, is truly amazing. It is deep, deeper than anything that we know. I'm so excited, brothers and sisters, that I'm gonna go to heaven. And even before I go to heaven, it will happen to me, but slowly, but when I go to heaven, even in heaven, when I'm perfect, I will get to know Him more and more. He is so infinite, so deep, that it will take forever for a perfect person in heaven for like me. It will take that long to know Him. That's why heaven is an exciting place. And that life has already begun. Slowly, until we go to heaven, then way faster, we get to know Jesus Christ. Because He became a man. Now man gets to know Him.
Nothing excites me that much, you know, like my son or daughter, they come up with it. Even like they saw a movie and they go, wow, it's great, but it doesn't excite me that much. What excites me is the gospel. And I pray every day for you to get excited about the gospel. Because this is the truth. This gives you the true knowledge of true reality. You know, everything you see around you, this world, you could call it false.
Because one day, it will all be destroyed. But what we are seeing in the Bible, this will remain forever. Brothers and sisters, let's really get excited about the gospel. One day, you will see it with your physical eyes. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us your word so that we may know the truth. Oh Father, you reveal yourself to us in the Bible so that we may know you, that we may have a relationship with you, that we may be with you forever and ever. And Father, how can we even think about this lousy creature being with God? And yet you have shown to us through Jesus that that is your purpose in salvation. God being with men. And we see it in Christ. So we cannot deny that reality. God is with men. And even though we're sinners, we are able to be with God through the salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.